brought Vivian's wine up and tapped on the door. Kate said to come in. Inquisition time. They were together on the couch, and there was a single chair across the coffee table from them. I set the bottle on the table. "This is yours, Viv. Care for a glass?" She shook her head silently, and so did Kate. I took a glass from over the sink and filled it halfway. I sat down and didn't say anything. This was her show, or theirs.
"I didn't mean to hurt you," Kate said. "I was too abrupt."
"Maybe that was best," I said. "Shock treatment."
"That means something in 20th, doesn't it?" Vivian said.
"Yes, they used to treat mental illness by shocking the patient with an electrical current across the brain, or by wrapping the body up in ice-cold sheets, or whipping them, or injecting blood infected with malaria or something. It didn't really work very well. Sometimes they died from the bad blood."
"That's a pun, isn't it?" Kate said. "Bad blood."
"It means animosity."
"What can we do? What can I do? To prevent bad blood between us?"
"You could stop seeing me as a monster. That would help."
"But I don't."
I looked into the dark wine. "So that's the end of the discussion, isn't it? I thought the problem was that I'm sort of tempting people to their death, and you think there's something wrong with that." I didn't let her answer. "You don't use the machine much either," I said to Vivian. "Not at all since Earth orbit."
"No, maybe never again." "She grew out of it," Kate said.
"Ah, well, now we're getting somewhere. What is my life, then? All these years I've been sitting at that machine, keeping people from finding themselves?"
"You think people find themselves in there?"
"Everybody's different," Vivian said, almost pleading. "I just never was comfortable with it."
"You brought it up," Kate said. "They lose themselves."
"Katie."
"You brought it up," she repeated. "So answer it."
I gritted my teeth and swallowed. "You are so exactly wrong. What I do is help people find themselves. They don't lose themselves in history. They go searching for themselves, for what they are, for what their lives mean."
"If you actually believe that, you are completely delusional."
"Katie, don't." My throat was constricting to scream. I sipped at the wine and sat back and took a deep breath and blew it out. "Look, when I talked to Vivian, I thought that she thought..." I set down the glass and looked straight into Kate's eyes. "I thought that she thought that you thought that if we got together we could mend some fences. If it's not that, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. I can sit in my own room and be mad all by myself."
"No, you can't!"
Suddenly she was almost screaming herself.
"You can't! I've never met a man, anyone, as cold and rational as you are, Jacob. Rational and rationalizing. No wonder you love that fucking machine so much."
Vivian was holding on to her arm. She shook free.
"You're a pair, you and the machine. You're a real pair!"
"Jake," Vivian said, "if she didn't love you, she wouldn't be like this." "Yeah, I'm sure." I stood up. "Let's do this again sometime. It's been fun." I closed the door quietly behind me on my way out. She was wrong about me loving the machine. That was sure. I did need it, but it wasn't love. I was coming to fear it. I read somewhere that the opposite of love was not hate. It was indifference. Or could it really be fear? Terror? My phone gave the two chimes that meant confidential. I waited until I was back at the new apartment and took it out. It was Bruce's number. I punched it.
"Jake, it's Steve Dudlow. He died."
Shit. I liked Steve a lot. Like last time?
"No, just as he came out of the machine. The medic was right on him, right there. Couldn't.
Was it the brain?"
"Brain and heart together," she says. "The medic says. One of his eyes has blood."
"Steve, Jesus. Who knows? Shit, have you called Ramon?"
"Not yet, nobody. The medic called the ER about 10-15 minutes ago. Everybody's going to know before long.
I better call.
No, Jake. Look, let me handle it. I'm okay with it. I was just leaving the line open to give you the word. I'll call Ramon and then call you back.
Well, if you... I was talking to a dead line. Bruce didn't know the two guys as well as I did, but maybe that was for the best. They'd been together for years before Earth launch, one of the longest relationships I ever knew. Complex. They were both married to women, off and on. We'd met Steve and Ramon as a couple in New York before Aspero was even thought of. We weren't especially close, but they'd been in a poker circle with Mother and me, and we went to shows together. Ramon was a playwright, probably still was. I started to sprint, then slowed down, passed by the lift and took the stairs down to the office, to the machine. Steve, Jesus. 2 out of 800. I had to go in and talk to the machine. Would I be the third? No. Maybe Kate was right. The machine and me, we were a pair. Maybe I would be the last one it killed. If I was next, I would probably be the last. 19. Revelations. Rebecca and the other three living clients were sitting together on the recovery couch, drooping, naked, white as paint, one asleep. Becca, are you all right?
Hell, I don't know, I guess.
She hugged herself and rocked.
I just heard about the Sputnik in the weird chili place. And Bruce pulled us. I've never been pulled when I had the box.
She felt along her bare hip for a non-existent pocket.
It's disorienting.
To say the least, Bruce said, setting down his phone.
I'm sorry.
No, I would have done the same,
Becca said. She gestured toward Steve's body.
You were friends? Poker pals with your mom, I remember.
Yeah, long time ago. Long time. One eye was bright red with blood. His mouth was open, unnaturally wide, and his hands were clenched claws. Rebecca pointed at the sleeping one.
She's his wife, Andrea. She really went to pieces, understandably. The medic sedated her.
Were they in there together? Did she see him die?
I think so. She was so hysterical, I'm not sure.
She did say, he's gone, when she first came out, Bruce said.
Oh, my, Rebecca said.
Neither of them was there in the diner.
Bruce shook his head.
They were going to France.
The medic was swabbing a catheter that I supposed she had just taken out of him. She slipped the swab into a test tube and closed it.
I asked her, was there pain? I mean, they thought with Alex.
We don't have the blood analysis yet, the adenosine triphosphate. He doesn't look to me like he was having a good time.
The machine signaled me, Bruce said. The new biosensor system. His blood pressure spiked, and the machine recommended that I pull everybody.
He was pretty close to dead when he came out, the medic said. I'm going to seize the biosensor. You don't have to seize anything, Bruce said. We want to know as much as...
I'm going to take it away before any of you or the machine can edit the life signs data stream.
Sweat was popping out on her forehead. She looked like she was ready to hit somebody. Bruce looked over at the biosensor, a red box sitting on the counter, unplugged.
You can't think that we...
I really don't care one way or the other. My instructions are to assume that the people who work here are not disinterested. Do you think that's unreasonable?
Well, no, Bruce admitted. But of course we want to cooperate.
I didn't say anything. If the machine had wanted to edit the data stream, it was long ago done. I suspected it could manufacture a physiological data stream in real time that showed every client was a hamster high on heroin. I wasn't going to let her just saunter off with the biosensor. I called Hugh Chappelle, a kind of freelance analyst who helps us from time to time, and who did most of the design on it. He agreed to go over to Sanitas with me to oversee their download and inspection of the data. Bruce went to the autopsy, but I decided to forego the privilege. One per year is plenty.
So Hugh and I didn't crowd into the ambulance shuttle, but waited for the regular one a half hour later. Coordinator Edison invited himself along, fair enough. He brought up the obvious as soon as we were seated.
So you definitely have to shut down now.
For the general population, yes. Bruce Carroll and I will be going in, but not as clients, as mechanics.
I wish you wouldn't. At least not until we hear from Earth.
That was a wish, not an order. You know, we don't have to wait for Cronkite. The time machine's in contact with its opposite numbers on Earth all the time. They find out something, it knows 6 days later.
More like seven now.
Seven, okay. But I can go into it as an observer and talk to it, find out what the consensus is on Earth.
Do you think that protects you?
What?
Do you think being an observer protects you from the machine?
I laughed. Protect? That's so old. I've tripped thousands of times. If the machine killed people, I
talked to your wife, Kate, this morning. She called me.
Ex-wife.
She thinks your behavior with the machine is self-destructive.
She thinks it came between me and her.
Did it?
No. Hugh had been silent. He spoke up.
Hey, I know Kate since Earth. You gotta take anything she says about her spouse with a grain of salt.
I felt curiously resentful at that.
Why is that? Edison asked.
He looked at me.
I'm sorry, I don't want to tell tales. You just broke up recently?
What is it? I said. I know she's bisexual, technically. That didn't bother me.
That's not it. How long you know her?
Since Europa. He nodded.
Look, I'll bet you a week's alcohol that in a year she'll be back with you. Or I'll try to make up, anyhow.
I don't think so. She was pretty emphatic.
Take the bet?
I have played a certain amount of poker.
Uh-uh. What do you know that I don't? I was married to her about 40-45 years ago. You didn't know that?
No. Back on Earth. We hadn't talked much about that.
Yeah, we went to Chimborazo together, from Houston. I'd known her and her wife, a Japanese woman, for maybe a year. That blew up, and I guess I was around. We did a 10-year contract. A year later, she was back in Houston, trying to get what's-her-name, Yoko Ono, to kiss and make up. I called some people in Houston who knew them longer than I did and found out it was a pattern. She'll be with someone a while and blow up and go with somebody else, but then come back. It's like she has to prove something.
Or has to keep her life dramatic, I said.
Did she come back to you?
Well, no. She found out I was snooping around and told me to go to hell. But she'd done it with several people, almost like alternating current. Boy, girl, boy, girl. I can look up the names if you want to check.
No, I believe you. It makes a funny kind of sense.
It also made me hopeful that she might actually come back for whatever reason, for however long.
You still shouldn't go into the machine until we know more from Earth, Edison said. Kate might be an odd person, but she's been living with you for some time. She knows you.
I wouldn't call you self-destructive myself, but you have to admit you're not the most cautious person in the world, in our little world. He smiled to take the edge off.
If you were an old-time lawman, you'd be the kind who shoots first and asks questions later.
And so doesn't get shot himself. I tightened my harness and thought for a moment. Okay, though. I'll wait until Earth gets the word about this new death and gets back to us. Want to write to a specialist back there anyhow, J.B. I had a sudden access of caution, then realized the machine probably wasn't listening. I thought of telling them my suspicions and Jay's while we were temporarily out of earshot, but the pilot was coming up on the airlock.
You do the math, Hugh said. How long has it been between the first death and this one? 2 weeks?
13 days.
If it's not the machine, then at this rate we'll all be gone in 28 and a half years. We better start fucking like bunnies.
There was a chime, and we thumped gently against the airlock. A lot of the passengers were looking at Hugh. The autopsy results were not the same as Alex's, which was a relief. If they'd both been cerebral hemorrhages, it would make a stronger case for the machine having caused them by an electrical